Love that song. Love the words. It says, I will look back to see that you are faithful, and I look ahead believing you are able. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Looking back, but looking forward. We've been in this series called When God Does Something New. And last week, we talked about looking back, and some of what we need to do when we look back is forget about it. Just forget about the past. And today we're going to focus on looking forward and what God has for us. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited that you all are here and hear this word that God has for us today. And God has new things that he wants to do in your life. I'm confident of that today. He has new things he wants to do in my life. He has new things that he wants to do in our church in 2015. And so whatever your 2014 was like, I just want to encourage you to not dwell on it too much, but to look forward in faith and to keep your eyes focused forward. That's what faith does to 2015, to what God may have for you this year. And so we've been in this story, I guess you could say, in Isaiah chapter 43. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, we're going to look at this again. Isaiah 43. If you don't have a Bible, there are some under your seats, and you can pull one of those out and follow along with us. We're going to be starting in about, I think, verse 16 today, and we're going to talk about what this looks like for us. One of the most important things that we can do when we're talking about seeing God do new things in our lives, and really what I want to talk about today, is perceiving the new thing that he wants to do. In other words, becoming aware of it. And we're going to talk about why that's so very important for us today. My 2014 was one of those years that I think when we get some distance from it, my wife and I will probably look back and go, wow. I think some years you get into a rhythm, into a routine, and you're in the monotonous work routine, and so years can tick by, and you feel like this kind of the same routine. And we've had some of those, definitely some of those seasons of life where just years pass by and you go, where did they go? You know, like what happened to 1999, right? Like, you guys remember the Prince song that was popular in the 80s, and then 99 rolled around and we're like, it is 99. And like, I was a young man at that time, and I'm at a New Year's Eve party, and it's like, they're playing Prince, and it's like, it really is 99, you know? Wow. You know? And that's 15 years ago. Like, what happened? You know, where did the time go? And so that can kind of happen. But then you have years like me and my wife had where just a bunch of stuff happened. And I think we're going to look back on 2014 and just go, yeah, remember when that and that happened? That was all in one year. You know, the year we had the baby, and the year we moved, and the year we did this, the year we did that. And you know how if you're on Facebook, some of you they do like a little year-end recap, and so it can be like a little picture slideshow. And so I had him do that for me, and I shared it, and I was like, the Cliff Notes version for my 2014 was I turned 30 years old, all right, which was a big deal, all right? It was a big deal, all right? I want you guys to feel what I felt in that moment, all right? I feel old now, all right? We started a church. Along with the help of many of you fine people. And so that's something that's like a bucket list thing. Like, wow, started a church, check. That's awesome. We got to go to Florida on vacation with our family, which is not something we get to do, you know, every year. We've only got to do a few times in our marriage, my wife and I. And so that was awesome. It was a huge blessing. And then in September, we had our fourth child. And so it was like, you know, we're going to look back in 2014 and go, wow, that was a lot of stuff, you know, that was crazy. What, you know, I almost feel like I need a year to just kind of catch my breath and kind of just cruise, you know, and maybe you've had years like that, or maybe you're here today and you're 2014, you're like, man, it was nothing like that. In fact, I'd rather forget about 2014. Maybe it was filled with some kind of pain or something that just wasn't so great. And I want to encourage you, because regardless of what your 2014 was like, God wants to do new things in your life, and he wants to do it this year, and I believe he's already working. He's already moving. And he's already setting you up. In fact, the new things have probably already started. Isaiah 43, before we jump into the scripture, I want to set this up and just kind of let you know, this was written to the people of Israel. And God gave these words to the man Isaiah, his prophet, to speak to his people. And at this time in history, they were not in a good place. They were had been experiencing a couple hundred years of just not good stuff. Economic decline, civil war, all those types of things. And most scholars believe that at the time this was written, they were actually in captivity in Babylon. Isaiah wrote the first 30 chapters, most scholars believe, earlier than that, and then about 700 years prior to Christ, and then around in the 500s there is when they went into captivity. And most scholars believe another guy, a Jewish scholar, wrote the rest of the book of Isaiah while they were in captivity. And you have to keep in mind, they were in captivity because they had been sinning against God, they'd been doing things that were wrong, they had experienced all this hardship and trouble, and now they're kind of experiencing the consequences of that. Maybe that's some of what you experienced in 2014. Maybe you did some really stupid stuff in 2014, right? And maybe now you're sitting here, it's a new year, and you're just, life is not good because you're experiencing consequences, and you know it was your fault. And you're like, man, this stinks. And that's where they were at. And this is what God wants to say to his people in that moment, okay? We're going to start in verse 16. It says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. God is letting them know who he is, okay? He's like, I want to remind you who I am. This is what I'm saying. Remember, and what he's doing, he's referencing the Red Sea. Remember? I mean, if any moment in Israel's history, it's like the Red Sea is like the biggest moment. Moses parts the water. God parts it through Moses. They go across, and he's saying he drew out the chariots and horses of the Egyptians, and then he laid them out, never to rise again, extinguished. He's like, remember the Red Sea? That's me. I'm the God of the Red Sea. Now, this is what the God of the Red Sea wants you to do, my people who are in captivity. Forget the former things, and do not dwell on the past. Forget about the former things. Don't dwell on them. And so God brings up this huge miracle he has done. And then he says, I want you to forget about the former things. Don't dwell on it. Jamie Warren talked about this last week. Why would God want them to forget about even some of the great miracles? Well, God is not saying, forget about your victories. Forget about the good times of your life. Forget about the great things God has done altogether. In fact, we see elsewhere in Scripture that God says, in fact, my wife was reading in Isaiah this week, and just a few chapters later, God is speaking to someone else, and he says, remember the former things. And so when we look back and see the victories God has done in our lives, the great things God has done, maybe something he's blessed you with, maybe a prayer that was answered, you see those things, and they encourage your faith. And you go, man, God is good. I can trust the Lord. He's good. I can trust him. In fact, sometimes you get in circumstances that are so bad in your life and you just don't have any faith left. And you got to borrow some faith from the past to get you through your present. Has anybody been there? And that's good. You got to look back and say, man, God, you're faithful. But what can happen is when you're in those hard times, those hard circumstances, when life gets really tough, and especially when you're getting further and further from the good times, what can happen is you look back at those mountaintop experiences with God, or maybe some of those great blessings or some of the great things in your life, and you're far away from it now, and life is not good now, and you look back at those things, and all they do is discourage you. And you look back and you go, yeah, God did that. He's not with me anymore. Look at my life now. And you use God's faithfulness in your past as proof to prove to yourself and confirm to yourself that he's not with you anymore. And it discourages you. And that is what God is speaking to. He's like, remember the Red Sea? Remember that? You know how you're in captivity now? You know how life's not bad? You know how everybody's thinking God has abandoned us? He's letting a foreign army conquer us, and now we're subjects to this foreign nation in a land not our own? You know how that's going on? He's saying, forget about the former things. If all they're going to do is discourage you, forget about it. And here's why. Next verse. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God's like, hey, if you're going to look back on your past and be discouraged, forget about it. Even some of the mountaintop experiences, even some of the great things. Jamie talked about last week some of these great stories of faith in his family, some of the miracles he's seen God do in his family, and how what he talked about was like, hey, those miracles are not going to get me through what I'm going through. All right? And it can be discouraging to look back and be like, man, God, you were there then. Where are you now? But he also talked about, we also have to forget about maybe some of our past sins and our regrets, because what can hold us back from walking into the new things that God has for us sometimes is we can't get past our past. And we know that our God is a God of forgiveness. And he goes, hey, listen, forget about your past. And Jamie talked about that last week. Forget about your sins. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Jesus paid for that shame on the cross. You don't have to carry it anymore. Jesus paid for your punishment on the cross. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And then he says this. He's reminding his people of this. He says, see, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God is doing some new things in this church, in your hearts, in my heart, in our community right now. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Right now in this room, there is an oak tree. This thing's like, it's got to be over 100 feet tall. I mean, it would take 3 or 4 guys linking hands to get around this sucker. I mean, there's so much wood in this thing. You could probably build a whole boat out of this tree. There's an oak tree in this room. Do you not perceive it? Oh, there it is. It's an acorn. It's the seed of the oak tree. Does this blow anybody else's mind that if you plant this and you give it the right conditions, the right environment, everything that is needed to get to being over 100 feet tall, all of the information, all of the photosynthesis processes. I don't even know if that's a word, all right? But it's all in here. Like, you just give this thing some soil and some water, and you just kind of keep doing that. Some soil, water. Just a little soil and some water. Give it some sunlight, some soil and water. Everything is in here. And it will grow into that tree. There's, right now in this room, God is doing some things in your lives. He's saying, look, I'm doing a new thing. Right now, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Whenever God wants to do something new, he will speak his word to start this new thing that he wants to do in your life this year. And the Bible, when you kind of look at different places, the Bible describes this process of God starting new things in your life kind of like the process of farming, okay? And I want to look at a couple passages of Scripture to show us what this looks like so that we can understand what God wants to do in us this year and what he's already doing in us right now. The first place, Isaiah 55, just a few chapters later, verses 10 and 11, it says this. God is speaking to his people, and he says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's describing this process where he speaks his word, it comes into the earth, and he's speaking about human hearts in this metaphor. Comes into our lives, and just like the rain and the snow makes the earth bud and flourish, so his word comes into our lives and makes us bud and flourish. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. We just talked about it. We just celebrated it at Christmas. I mean, the Bible says Jesus is the word of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so if some of you need a little hope today, that maybe your circumstances could change. We serve a God who changes circumstances. And with the word, he can speak a word into your life today and start something new in your life. Or maybe some of you came in here and you just feel dead inside. And I just want to encourage you that we serve a God who speaks life to dead things and they come to life. They resurrect. This is the Lord that we serve. He calls things that are not as though they are. And he speaks life to dead things and they come to life again. And so God wants to do some new things in your life. Don't doubt it. I think if you're doubting it, you probably just can't perceive it. Jesus gives us, he told a story about how this process works. Again, using this farming analogy. And he gets a little more specific about how God's word comes into our lives, into our hearts and our minds, our lives, and starts doing some new things, okay? It's called the parable of the sower. It's in three of the gospels. I want to focus on Mark's version. And so I'm going to read this, and then we're going to break it down and talk about it. It's going to give us some more information for what we need here today. It says this, Mark 4, this is Jesus himself talking, starting in verse 3. He says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then a few verses later, his disciples are kind of like, okay, what was that about? You know, and Jesus goes, here's what I meant by that, all right? He's like, taking it out of metaphor and applying it to our lives, all right? And he says, starting in verse 14, the farmer sows the word. And so the seed, all right, is the word of God. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. In other words, the path is hard. And so if you have a hard heart, you may not hear what God's trying to speak to you today. You may not receive the new seed that he's trying to plant in you today. Then he says this, other seed fell among, fell in rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. So there's no root. In other words, God is putting some new things in your life, and you look at those things and you go, well, that looks hard. I don't want to do that. And God's, the word, the new thing he's sown in you just dies because you don't want to endure the hardship. You don't want to do the work God's calling you to do. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Can I be real with you guys today? Jesus is saying these are different kinds of people. He talks about later on, he says, consider carefully how you listen. In other words, the way that we listen to what God is speaking to us determines what type of soil we are. Okay? And I'm just going to be real with you guys. I look at this, you know, the first several times I read this story and have thought about it in my life, I thought, man, I'm either one or the other. And a lot of times I just don't feel like good soil, if I can be real with you. And so I can get discouraged. And we can think fatalistically about this and go, well, I'm just the thorny soil, you know, and I'm so worried about stuff and the deceitfulness of wealth. I live in America, this affluent, and I'm just, you know, I'm just not going to make it. It's just God wants to do new things, but I'm a screw up and I'm just not good enough. And so I'm not going to be able to see God do some new things in my life. But as I've lived a little and walked through life a little, you know, I've really come to believe at different times in my life, I'm different kinds of soil. Like, I've been all of these. Like, God's tried to speak some things to me in my life, and my heart is just hard, and I'm just like, I don't think so, God. You know, God's tried to speak to me sometimes, and I get excited about it. I get pumped up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. It's going to be awesome. God told me it's going to be great. And then I realize the cost of doing that thing that God wants me to do. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be hard. I don't want to follow through with that. And so I'm kind of like the rocky soil. And then there's times, and I think this is where most of us are at a lot of the time, is the thorny soil. Like, we're good soil. We believe in the Lord. We believe what he wants to say to us. But, man, we just get so distracted in our culture, with really distracted with affluence, entertainment, you know, kids' activities, sports. Ohio State's going to the championship. Yeah, you know, and have fun with that. Celebrate it, because it ain't gonna happen every year, you know. But you know what I'm saying. But we just get so distracted, and then we're just so daggone worried about everything all the time, and we just worry, and it just wants to choke out what God wants to do in our lives. And the good news is, as Jesus says, he says, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. You can change the type of soil that you are today if you would just be willing to soften your heart a little bit, open your hands a little bit, open your mind a little bit, and listen to what God wants to do. He's speaking some new things. He's scattering some seed today. God wants to do some new things in your life this year. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? The Apostle Paul further clarifies this growth process of the new things God wants to do in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. He says it this way. He says, I planted the seed, again talking about the word of God, the message of Jesus Christ. I planted the seed. Apollos, this other dude, this other church leader, watered it, but God has been making it grow. Okay? And so he tells us several things in this one little verse. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. And so if you have been following Christ for a while and you've seen God do a lot of awesome things in your life, he's telling us, you don't get to take credit for that. That is the word of God in you. That's the grace of God working in you and through you. All right? And we need to hear that sometimes. You're like, man, you're right. Man, everything, and I can say that with confidence in my life. Anything God's done through me, anything God's done in this church, it's because of his grace, man, just poured out on me. And I don't deserve it. And I'm just thankful. It just makes me that much more thankful to see all the awesome stuff God is doing in my life. But he also reveals something else, and it's what Jesus was saying when he said, consider carefully how you listen. You could change what type of soil you are. Paul's saying, God makes things grow, but what do we determine? We determine the soil. He says, I planted it, Apollos watered it. In other words, we determine what type of environment we're going to be for this thing to grow in. And so our job is not to create the word, create the new life. God is speaking into us. Our job is to perceive what he's doing and go, that's what God's doing. And then to cultivate the soil of our lives so that these new things God wants to do can grow up. They can take root and they can grow up and they can bear fruit and they can multiply so that we can see the new things God wants to do come to pass in our lives. Let's see here. A couple years ago, my wife and I were moving here. It was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Moving back down here. We grew up in this area. We were in Detroit for 5 years, where I was serving as a worship pastor up there. And then we moved back down here to start this church. And we're blessed to be able to do that. It's a big, long story and process that God led us through to call me to do this and to get me ready to do this. But we moved back down here, and just amazing, another awesome God story. We did a three-month internship in Worcester, Ohio, and then while we were in Worcester, we're getting ready to move here, and we had never owned a house before. We'd been married for several years at that point. We'd always rented, and we knew this is where we were coming. We were planting a church, and so we wanted to be planted here when we moved here. And so my wife's like, let's buy a house, you know, and we got to move in like 2 months from Worcester down here. And I was just like, honey, and this is so awesome. I've said this a few times to my wife, and then these things happen, and it's just God gets glory. I looked at her, and I go, honey, we're moving in 2 months. The house buying process takes like 3 or 4 months from looking to when you find the house, it takes a few months to work everything out. And I go, it would have to be God, all right, for us to find a house that we actually like and to check it out, to negotiate, to sign contracts, do all this stuff. Not to mention I was changing jobs, right? And so I didn't have the whole, you know, pay stubs of the new job and all that. Like, I was just like, it'll have to be God. Well, it was God. Like, God was like, oh, that house in February, and we went and looked at it, and long story short, or even longer anyways, by April, we were moved here, and we had bought a house. It was awesome. And we were blessed to have 2 acres, and it was like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. Room. We were in Metro Detroit where we were in a condo. So we're pumped, and we're like, garden. Doing a garden first year. Boom. It's going to be awesome, right? And so we just go crazy, and we plant this huge garden, and we're so pumped about it and just excited. We had to remodel the home a little bit. And so we couldn't move in for a few months. And so we plant the garden. I heard that. A few years. Yeah, no, we got to move in, but we're still working on it. And so we plant the garden, and then I start remodeling. We start having little Bible study meetings to try to get ready to start a church, and life starts charging full speed ahead, right? And basically what happened with the garden that year was we planted it, and it grew. Stuff grew, and lots of stuff grew, weeds and craziness. In fact, about halfway through summer when you're supposed to start, you know, first fruits of the harvest, you know, I go out, and I just to be honest with you, we had not even been out there. It looked awful. You walk out, and there's weeds this high, and it's just this mass of just chaotic mess. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm like, did anything even happen? And so I start going through and I start weeding through the weeds, and I'm like, this is just all weeds. I don't even think anything grew, you know? And then I kind of stumbled upon what I still think was a watermelon plant amongst the weeds. I'm like, oh, there's something, you know? And there was even a little thing, but, you know, they were overgrown by the weeds, and, you know, they weren't that big and we couldn't eat them. But I was like, there it is, you know? It's crazy. And I learned a couple things from this. From this garden that ended up being weeds literally 10 feet high, and my farmer neighbor felt sorry for me and came by with his bush hog and said, you want me to knock that down for you? And I was like, sure, man. And so he did. But I learned a few things. I learned a few things. Number one is, farming is a lot of work. Gardening is a lot of work. Like, even if somebody gives you the seeds and tells you, this is how you plant them, you know, this is how you till up the soil, you get them in there. Like, when stuff starts growing, along with the good stuff, bad stuff starts growing too. Jesus told a story about that too. And really, to do a garden right, which we tried to redo this year, and we got it a lot better this year, you got to go out there like a couple, two or three times a week and work on that thing. Like, farming is just a lot of work. And I think what can happen is, like, our lives are not like these beautiful tilled fields out here that these amazing farmers take care of. Our lives, most of the time, if we're honest, are like my garden. Like, God starts speaking. Like, you came in here today, and I'm like, God wants to do a new thing in your life, and I'm going to sow some seed of the Word of God in your life. It's going to be awesome. And you're like, sweet. And then you start looking around, and you just see this big mess of weeds. And you're like, where is it? Oh, it's in there. But you got some work to do. And I think when you start looking through that garden of your life, you find what God is doing. You find the new thing. You perceive it. There it is. And then I think what can happen sometimes, you go, there it is. There's God's will. There's what God wants me to do. And then you go, man, that's going to be hard, man. That's going to take some work. I'm going to have to knock down all these weeds so that this thing can get some light. This is going to be tough. And we can actually get discouraged. And you're like, man, that for that to grow, for this to become the oak, that's going to take, like, some serious faith. Exactly. Exactly. You know of any other profession that there could be? I think farming is one of those that takes, like, the most faith of any. I mean, you talk to some farmers, and they'll tell you, like, you go out there and you plant, and you can try to arrange, you can fertilize, and you can water. But, man, I think a lot of farmers are believers for a reason, because there is so much you can't control. Lord Jesus, let it rain. Just let it rain. Just, God, just let it rain. Okay, stop the rain. It's going to ruin everything, right? And you're always out there, and you're obsessing over it. It just takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of faith. And the same is true with the Lord. In fact, Hebrews 11 says it this way, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that, listen, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Rewards those who earnestly seek him. We've got to perceive what God is doing. And then we got to do the work of cultivating our lives to make a really good environment for the Word of God, for the new things he wants to do in our lives, to grow. And the Bible says if we earnestly seek after him, he rewards those. I mean, just like he rewards a farmer, he rewards them when they earnestly go after their work. He rewards them, doesn't he? It's all from him. Second thing that I learned from my garden, other than it's a lot of work, takes a lot of faith, and faith works. I think James said something about that in his book, like, faith without deeds is dead. Like, if you really have faith, then seek God and go after him and work to see God do some new things in your life. The second thing I learned is the importance of perceiving. The importance of perceiving, because we have these wild, overgrown lives, don't we? And God's speaking new things, and he's sowing seed. And we get out there, and we're like, where is it? Where is it? And listen, if you can't perceive what God wants to do in your life, the new things he's speaking into you, even today, if you can't perceive it, then you have no idea what plant to cultivate. You have no idea what conditions to arrange. You have no idea what's the weeds and what's the word. You've got to perceive what God is saying to you. And so I want to spend the rest of our time talking about how we can perceive what God may be speaking to you today, what he is trying to speak to you in this season of your life, what he's speaking to our church. I think when I talk about, you know, Jesus said this in this parable of the seed, that the word of God is the seed, and he sows it, right? And then he says later on, consider carefully how you listen. And so God's speaking to us. That's how he does new things. He speaks a word. We've got to listen. We've got to perceive. We've got to understand what God is speaking to us. And I think one of the reasons in our culture that we have such a hard time discerning this is because we have a hard time listening to God, listening for God. You know, the Bible describes his voice in a metaphor of a still, small voice, a gentle whisper. Like, you got to get still and you got to get quiet, sometimes literally, to hear what God is trying to say to you. That's why I think church can be so powerful, because we come in this place and we sit here and we try to remove all distractions. That's one of the reasons that we separate the children from us here. The other reason is that we can speak more effectively to them at their level and help them grow more. But also because when you're holding a toddler, right, there's been some weeks that, you know, my wife's holding our toddler right now, and when there's a toddler sitting on your lap and I'm speaking the word of God and you're like, yeah, and then it's, you know, it's like really hard to pay attention, all right? Like, yeah, oh, yeah, I think God's, oh, hey, whoa, what's up? I thought God was speaking, you know, and so, but that's why church can be so powerful. That's just one of the many reasons that you come in here is so important. Once a week to just come and sit in this quiet space where someone with a little bit of faith can lift their voice and proclaim God's word and just let it soak in. And so when I say God wants to do some new things in your life, I'm not just throwing out some metaphor to try to make you think a little bit. I really believe it, because his word is living and active, and he's speaking into hearts today. I know he is. But man, we have trouble listening because of our culture. Our culture is so fast. It's so loud. It's so noisy. And I think people of ancient times could get busy and have a noisy life, but our culture is so fast too. Like, even when we don't have stuff to do now, because back then it was like we work. We get a little bit of food, and so we got to work. And in our culture, it's very affluent historically. We work 8 hours a day, usually maybe 10. Usually get weekends off. We have a lot of downtime. And so what do? We fill it with stuff, entertainment, right? We're filling it. Even when we're not busy, even when our lives are not loud, we fill it with busy, loud things. And we want to run around. And so what we've got to do to really perceive what God is doing is slow down and really start tuning into God and start listening to what God is trying to do. And thankfully, there are two spiritual disciplines that we can engage in to help us with this. And they are called prayer and fasting. I mean, this is like the meat and potatoes of the Christian life. And especially when you do them together, it's a powerful vehicle to help you perceive what God is speaking into your life in that moment. And so I'm excited to let you know today that starting next Sunday, January 11th, we're going to start an extended season of prayer and fasting as a church. It's going to be 21 days long. This is something we did last year and something that I hope to continue each year as a church, that at the beginning of the year, we can seek the Lord, that we take this time and we set it apart and we kind of try to quiet our lives down and listen for an extended period of time, because sometimes it takes some time for us dense people to try to hear what God's trying to say to us. And so that's what we're going to do. That does not mean we're not going to eat for 21 days, all right, in case you're wondering. If you're new to church, prayer and fasting is a spiritual discipline where you don't eat in some way, okay? And so a regular fast is where you don't eat food and you drink only water, usually for 1 to 3, 7 days, maybe somewhere in there. Because we're doing an extended fast, we're going to be doing what's called a partial fast, okay? This is where you kind of choose some foods, usually sweet, delicate, rich foods that probably aren't good for you anyways, and you say, for 21 days, I'm not going to eat those types of things, right? If you want, I sent out an email about this. Some of you probably got it. If you're new with us, you probably didn't get it. That's one of the things that those types of things you'll get if you fill out the card and leave it on your seat today. But there's some fasting resources in there. One of those things is called a Daniel fast. And a Daniel fast is found in the book of Daniel. This is where Daniel says, I'm only going to eat fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to drink only water. And he did it for 10 days at one point, and he did it for 21 days at another point. And that's something we engaged in as a church last year. If you've never fasted before, I would encourage you to try that. That can be pretty intense. If you're new to fasting, then you might just try, hey, I'm just going to fast, you know, these sweet foods or desserts or whatever for 21 days. But it's denying yourself some type of food. And then also what I think can be just as powerful in our culture is I would strongly encourage you with some type of food fast to fast some type of media and entertainment and or entertainment. And so my wife and I have been talking about this. We're probably, you know, for example, not going to watch any TV or movies for 21 days. All right. Maybe you're just addicted to Facebook, you know. And maybe you're like, you know what, for these 21 days, I'm just not going to get on Facebook. Obviously don't fast and not do some type of media that's essential for your work. I'm going to fast email, all right? And it's essential for your work, and then you get fired, and you're like, God, what's wrong? And well, you kind of messed that one up, all right? But seriously, take this seriously, all right? You will be amazed. You will be amazed. When you quiet your life down for an extended season for the purpose of seeking the Lord. Hey, I love TV and movies, all right? I could watch a movie every night if they could make good ones that fast. I'm pretty picky now in my older age, but I'm 30 now, in case you didn't know. But I love TV and movies. And at this time of year, I'm just going, you know what? I'm just not going to do it for 21 days because it's that important to perceive, God, what are you wanting to do in my life in 2015? What are you wanting to do this year? Quiet yourself down. And when you fast food and when you fast media, you're disconnecting from our noisy culture. You're disconnecting. It's like weeding your life. It's like pulling up weeds. It's like cultivating your soil. And then the prayer part of it is, I strongly encourage you during that time, maybe the time you would have been watching TV, to go, hey, you know what? I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible, and I'm going to spend about 5 to 10 minutes praying. And I would strongly to encourage you to do those things. That's what this is going to look like for us throughout these 21 days. And so the purpose of fasting is to disconnect. We can perceive what God is speaking and to seek God, to earnestly seek him. And so what you should be focusing on during this time is things like repenting of any sin. Like if there's any sin in your life that you haven't repented for, just confess that to the Lord and say, God, you know what? You know what I'm going through. You're God. I did this. I wrestled with this. I made this mistake. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. He promises in his word to forgive you. But man, when you don't confess it, you're still carrying it around. You're still carrying around the guilt and shame and weight of it. And so when you confess that to the Lord, man, you just give it to him, and Jesus takes it. He took it on the cross. He's like, thank you. I've been waiting for you to give that to me. And then, man, you'll be amazed how this newness of heart that you sense when you do those things. Seek him in that way. Ask him to speak to you. Maybe you're like, man, I don't perceive it, Aaron, but I don't think he's been speaking. Well, seek him in that. Say, God, speak to me. I'm going to read your word during this time. Speak to me, Lord. And then finally, ask him to move in your life. And this is where it gets really good. God loves you. He wants to move in your personal situations in your life this year. Now he wants to help you. Now he wants to move in your life. And so whatever's been bringing you down lately, seek him in that. Seek him in that. Whatever problems you're facing, pray and say, Lord, help me with this. Maybe you've experienced a job loss this year, or maybe your job is just not that great and you would love to have a new one. You've even got some ideas. Write that down. And by the way, I would strongly encourage you, write this stuff down. And then through those 21 days, as you're reading scripture, as you're praying, you're going to have thoughts. You're like, man, that would be cool. Man, that's a good idea. It's almost like they're not your thoughts. The Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. And just go back to that journal entry about, oh, the job. Oh, yeah, I think God may be speaking this. Maybe. Write it down. And I say that for another reason, because when you get on the other side of it and when you earnestly seek him, it says he will reward you, and you'll go through your year and God will start answering those things and you go, wow. And if you don't write it down, you'll be like, oh, that was cool. Coincidence. Man, I tell you, it's crazy. But if you write it down, you go back and you go, whoa. That was the Lord. God did this last year when we went through this. And I'm going to be sharing some of that next week, some of what God has done this year in response to our faith last year, us cultivating the soil of our lives and of our church. It's exciting stuff. So ask him to help you with whatever you're facing, any problems, any relationships that are strained. Maybe your marriage is strained right now. Seek him. Maybe make your whole fast about that. God, help me in my marriage. Renew my marriage. God, seek him in that. Write it down. And as you go through and as you pray and as you seek him and read scripture about that, write down what he's speaking to you or what you think he's speaking to you. And finally, whatever circumstances seem impossible or overwhelming, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible, right? God loves it when his children go, well, it would have to be God if for that to happen. I mean, that's impossible. When we start saying the word impossible, I think God's ears perk up a little. He goes, what'd you say? Write that down. Yeah, this is going to be good. Write that down. What are you facing in your life? A mountain that you need moved in your life. It just seems impossible. Some of you right now, you're going, write it down. Seek God on it. God, move. God, help me with this. Believe and expect him to answer. Believe and expect him to answer. You know, with a word, God can change your circumstances. With a word, God can heal your body or your soul. With a word, God can give you the desires of your heart. With a word, God can restore that strained relationship. With a word, God can help you forgive that person. With a word, God can save that loved one you've been praying for so long. With a word, God can totally change your life this year. This year could be the year when you get to 2016 and you go, what in the world was 2015 about? I mean, all of these things happened. God wants to do some new things this year. And so I tell you, Resonance Church, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See? God is doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Let's quiet ourselves. Let's cultivate our soil through this season so that we can perceive what God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives and in our families and in our communities and in our church this year. Let's take this seriously. Let's earnestly seek him. If you're here this morning, if you're new to church, if this is all new to you, like prayer and fasting, I mean, know what that's like. Like, join us in this. Try it. All right? The definition of insanity that you're probably familiar with is to do the same things over and over and over and over again and expect a different result. And so if prayer and fasting is new to you, then I would say good. If you're looking for different results in your spiritual life, good. Try it. Seek God. Earnestly seek him. And you may be sitting here going, man, but I don't have a lot of faith. I don't even have faith. I just showed up today just on a wing and a prayer. The faith I know is Bon Jovi, all right? I'm halfway there. I'm just living on a prayer. The only prayer I knew was that song. I don't even know what it means. If that's you, hey, listen, I got good news. You know what Jesus said? You don't take much faith. Small as a mustard seed. This would make a mustard seed look like a dwarf. I mean, seed's huge. It doesn't take a lot of faith. Be willing to try this with us. We'll help you with it. Like, man, this is hard. It's like, all right, stick with it. We can do it. All right? You can do it with God's help. Let's seek him because I'm telling you, he's speaking new things. Now they're springing up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? You've got to perceive it if you want to see God bear fruit in your life through these new things he wants to do this year. I want to close with this as the band comes. You guys, come on up. When Jesus was starting his ministry, you know, we know from Scripture he grew up. I told my kids last week we read a Bible story when Jesus was 12, and he I just love that story. He just, his family goes back home, and he stays at the temple, and they lose him. And it takes them a whole day to realize that they forgot Jesus, and they freak out, and they go back to find him, and they can't find him for 3 days. I just love that story. That's the only story we have between Christmas and when he's a grown-up, preaching and teaching and going to the cross. It's the only story we have. And so time passes, and the Bible just says he's ready. Don't really know what he was doing in that time, but he's ready. He does a 40-day fast, prayer and fasting, to get ready for his ministry. Then he goes, he gets baptized, and he starts his ministry. And the Bible says the first thing he does, first sermon Jesus ever preached. Think about this. The word of God becoming flesh. He's going to speak his word for the first time. And he chooses a text from Isaiah just a few chapters later, Isaiah 61. And he reads this text. And when he gets done reading, he says, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing today." This 700-year-old word that God, I had Isaiah write down, it's fulfilled in your life today. And the sad part were so many in that crowd that day did not perceive the faintest clue of what Jesus was saying to them that day. After the sermon, it went so well, they tried to kill him, okay? Kind of a pattern in Jesus' life. I'd appreciate it if you don't try to hurt me or inflict harm upon me when this is over. Jesus speaks this. They don't even perceive it. They completely miss it. But we're on the other side of history. I think we might be able to perceive what he's saying. So I want to read these words to you that he read to them. It says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. They will be called oaks of righteousness." Oaks of righteousness. "A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Jesus is like, oh man, I'm going to shine a light so bright, it's going to make the blind see. I'm going to shine a light so bright, it's going to release the captives from prison. It's going to raise the dead. It's going to heal the sick. Do you not perceive it? They will be called oaks of righteousness. Some of you this year, in your struggle with sin that you struggled with for so long, Jesus is going to set you free this year. I declare it in the name of Christ. This year is your year. You will be an oak of righteousness. And he's planting that word in you today. Some of you who have been in prison in some sin, you're going to be set free this year. Some of you who've been captive to Satan, you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This is your year. He's going to set you free. He's speaking a new thing into your life, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Let's seek him. Let's perceive it this year. Let's earnestly seek him. Let's stand. We're going to close with this song that we sang earlier, that he can make all things new. Sing it with faith in your hearts. And let me just tell you, if you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come on up and let's pray together. And you can know him today. He can plant salvation in you today. If there's some sin that's coming between you and God, come on up. Let's pray about it. If there's some worry or some burden or some weight, just come on up. I'll be right over here. I'll be right over here. Just come on up. Let's pray this morning. And the rest of us, let's sing this out with some faith today, believing that this is our year, that God's going to do some new things in this place, in our church, in our communities, in our hearts. Let's sing this out together.